What is going on out there, everybody? And thank y'all so very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, in here causing problems and telling lies, Mr. Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios on a nice, beautiful spring day. School is almost out for the kids, so summer is fastly approaching. And I know the kids look forward to school being out, but I don't so much because it's like a wild place at my home. So I'll probably be hiding in Skeleton Studios or at my office at the Mammoth Appraisal Services headquarters.
I can tell this. You're going to have to get you some more waters for your office because you've showed up with just your cup of water. Your office must be out of your cans of water.
Yeah, I have to order. I have to get on the Amazon.
He's out of it. Well, usually he rolls in with it, folks. This time he's let y'all down.
I need to get some sponsors is what I need. I need Perrier. You know, I need Topo Chico. I need Liquid Death.
You think we could reach out to Liquid Death?
I'm sure.
Any of y'all out there that work in any of these water-sponsored places or any of these sparkling water spots, hit Big Fizzy up.
Yeah, I mean, I really do use the product, right? Now, I've talked to our advertising agency about Liquid Death, and they said that they would look into it, but I never heard anything.
So we're going to have to contact.
Not big enough yet, folks.
That's right. Guess not.
What have you been doing?
Man, oh man, yard work because of the rain. When it finally cleared up enough, I have been mowing and weed eating. I could almost bale it. I think I get my first cut and we could bale this one. We wait a few weeks, we'll bale another one. I'm not complaining. The rains is what we need. Everybody needs it. I'm just feel bad for everybody caught in those storms, but it seems it's that time of the year, like we said. So
yep.
It is what it is. But other than that, I've been trying to stay out of trouble and just keep plugging right along.
Speaking of trouble, I talked to my father who was in the Bermuda Triangle when I spoke to him. And they were on a cruise to Bermuda from New Jersey, and they are back in New Jersey now. So he survived, right? But I did have a conversation. Did you see any strange USOs? Did you see any crazy lights, mermaids, anything like that? He said no. My mom said it rained most of the time. Pop doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
He had his cigars. He had his nice beverage.
He just sitting there on the boat hanging out.
Yeah. Well, he hates cruises. I think he just went because sometimes you got to do stuff
because
for your wife.
Because she makes him go. Yeah, that's why.
But they had a good time. And speaking of good times, we have some of the best listeners on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
And we were mentioning that we had went to Trader's Village, and Luke was excited because he found an original Nintendo Entertainment System, and that his next purchase, he wanted to get a Sega Genesis. Well, since we have such fantastic listeners, I got messages from more than one person saying that they had a Sega Genesis, and one of those people was Richie Curtis. I believe he lives in San Antonio. Thank you, Richie.
Hey.
He sent Luke a fully functional Sega Genesis and a couple games, and Luke has loved it. You've made his month for sure. So I appreciate that, Mr. Curtis. Now, of course, Luke has made up a list of other things he wants me to start floating on the show so you can get him. Like, that's not the way it works. It's not, you know.
He's trying to game the system already.
Already. I'm like, that's not the way it works. But no, we really do appreciate it. And other gifts that our listeners have sent us is stories. Check this out. It says, hey, guys, I'm a new listener and I love the show. I haven't heard any stories similar to mine on your show, but wanted to put it out there to see if anyone else has had a similar experience. Last summer, my wife and I were prepping for our wedding. About 2 weeks before the wedding date, she went out of town for a few days, and I was home alone, just like Cam was. One of those nights, I was abruptly awoken shortly after 4 a.m., not by any sound or trigger that I can recall, but when I opened my eyes, there was an orb of orange light around the size of a softball. The orb was a few feet away from me and drifted through the nearest doorway before disappearing completely. When this woke me up, I immediately had a feeling of panic, followed by dread. Nothing further happened that night. Now fast forward to October. My wife and I are living in a brand new house. I was pulled out of my sleep again around the same time in the morning. This time, when I opened my eyes, I saw a similar ball of light, but this time it's a soft white light in color, and it was on my wife's side of the bed. Now the orb slowly floats through the wall again, but this time I'm not panicked. I'm actually calm, and I can recall the dream I was having before I woke up. Now, in my dream, I'm standing on the sidewalk outside of our new home with a baby girl. The baby is in a puffy snowsuit, and it looks like she's just learned how to walk. Now, the next morning after my wife wakes me up, I told her about my dream. She was more than freaked out. She went on to tell me that she had just taken a pregnancy test a few days before, and she was about 1 month pregnant. We were both in disbelief. I didn't even know we had a pregnancy test in our house, since we weren't exactly trying to have kids yet. A few months go by, and I'm sure you can guess it, but we're having a girl. We share the good news with family and friends, and they all start sending us gifts. One of the first things to show up is from an old college friend of my wife's, and guess what it is? It's a pink, puffy snowsuit. I'm sure they were messing with me at the time, but my wife swears she hadn't told anyone about my dream. I think it's worth mentioning I have a long history of sleep paralysis and lucid dreaming. I still struggle with a few questions after all this. What were the orbs of light? Were they spirits? Did I have a premonition? Was I somehow tapped into my wife's psyche? Or was all of this just a coincidence? Or did I manifest this? Thanks for listening, Bruds. CJ. Wow. Well, CJ, that is a strange story. I mean, you know, you're having these dreams, these prophetic dreams, and it's coming true, exactly what you thought. I don't know. Maybe the orbs of light were passed on loved ones. Maybe they were angels. Maybe they're extraterrestrials. I don't know. But a very cool story.
That is a great story.
Right? What do you think? I mean, one has to do with another, right? I don't think it's completely random.
I don't think it's a coincidence. I don't think any of that. I think it was all one of those things. It's like we've discussed numerous times that people that can tune in to certain things, you also find people that have sleep paralysis more than others, or people that have lucid dreaming more than others. Things everybody has, you know, certain tunings, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe at this point, CJ tuned into something like another realm, or you know, like a, I don't know, kind of like we always talk about in Fringe, a multiverse, and you've tuned into that side, and it's going, you're along the same path, but that tuning in, you just got to see what had already happened in that other one.
Yeah, right.
You know, and it was a bleed over like that. And like, I like the way you point out, maybe it was older loved ones. Maybe it was their way of coming, past loved ones coming back to just let them know they were there, or to just maybe be part of it, or to leave its energy there, or whatever it is.
Maybe the orb is a spirit of a child itself, and it enters the body when you're asleep and you're not aware of it. You just happen to be aware of it, and you saw what had happened. Because when these kids have these past life stories, right, they always talk about, you know, I was here before, and they know things that they shouldn't be able to know, and they've talked about it in more than one book I've read about the subject matter, that when you die, you go to heaven, and then if you want to come back, like, God will send you back. And sometimes they even get to pick their parents. The children said that I picked y'all. I handpicked you.
I watched a video not long ago, a shot of, looks like a baby that couldn't have been more than maybe a year and a half old, and this baby's playing a keyboard. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But playing this keyboard very, very well.
Like it knew the chords.
Like it knew the whole song, and it's playing a song. This child's playing an entire song, and it's almost one of those things is like that baby still remembers.
Yeah.
You know, it just so happens and you end up losing it. And it is, it's almost like it has leftover memory. We've discussed it numerous times for the reincarnation of children and whatnot. And it's wild. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe it was just, or maybe that's how they bring the children's souls or whatever in, as they are ushered in on those orbs, and that's how they get there too.
Yeah, if you're fascinated by stories like that, I can recommend Jim Tucker and Ian Stevenson. They've written several books on reincarnation, and it is fascinating. I mean, people talk about getting shot in their previous life, and they actually have a birthmark where the bullet was entered.
Yeah.
You know, and as they get older, the birthmark fades away. It's just too many coincidences that can't be explained.
Way too many. Look, Brett, I got one here that you're going to like. Of course, our homie Lon, he takes care of us and all that stuff, and he's always sending me the ones because he knows now how I get caught up by headlines. The main draw to this headline was simply a 4-foot-tall, orange glowing entity. So cool. I like the fact that it's smaller, right?
Yeah.
A small glowing entity. This took place on April 29th, 1982. Back in the day, right? 82, man, oh man. This was in Newport News, Virginia. It says, I was working the second shift as a field engineer at the shipyard and would get home between 11:30 and midnight. I would listen to the Richmond Rock Station at 102.1 to relax and sometimes a challenge to receive, since it was 80 miles away.
Yeah.
So this night's reception was excellent, and it was 1:30 in the morning before I knew it. I told myself I would listen to one more song before going to bed. And about a minute later, I heard some static that is characteristic of weak signal fading on FM. Okay, so I would go to bed now. I turned the stereo off and went down the hall back to the master bedroom. Before I could turn on the room light, I noticed an orange glow, like a sodium vapor light, and some blue-green flashing lights out my back window. I had window shades on all the windows since I needed a near dark to sleep during the day when I was on third shift. So I approached the window to open the shade and just to get a better look. Now my backyard adjoined a soybean field operated by the Baptist retirement home that was on the next street over. And I knew that they weren't out harvesting soybeans at 1:30 in the morning. So a voice in the back of my head warned me, "Do not open this shade." So I started to anyway, but was warned again. The shades.
A line stepper. So you don't like following rules, right? Right?
Something's telling you. Line stepper.
Telling you not to do it. You're like, no, I'm doing it.
I'm doing it. I'm going.
I like
for
this person.
It. Right? This is, yeah, 100%. So it says that the shades I bought had the edges curled in the 2 years since I'd bought them. So I was able to see out a narrow slit. And in the orange glow, I saw a figure about 4 foot tall. It turned back towards the lights and disappeared out of my field of view. So I tried to move the shade, but my fingers and my arm wouldn't respond. The lights got much fainter and disappeared, all within a few seconds. Then I was able to open the shade. I saw nothing. Suddenly, I remembered the previous events of my life. From, it says, Enfield, Connecticut, 1966 and 1974. Again, I asked them what was happening. I asked if it really was them. The answer I got was, "You will know soon." The following morning, I immediately went to my backyard and looked for any indication of the previous evening's activity, and I saw nothing. I was very disappointed, for at last I thought I had real evidence. And a few days later, I looked out the window and I saw three rings touching each other. They appeared to be perfect circles about 12 foot in diameter and from 4 to 6 inches in thickness and made of a gray-black powder. Now, my next-door neighbor is a retired Air Force officer with gardening all going on out in the back of his yard. So I brought him a grass blade from the area, and he immediately identified the material as a fungus common to the area due to the high humidity. He said the fungus typically starts as a small patch, then grows in random shapes outward, sometimes forming rings up to 2 to 3 feet over several weeks. So I showed him the three perfect 12-foot circles that appeared overnight, and he had never seen anything like it. He then showed me several places where some of these azaleas were missing. That was on his side. And the dirt was still fresh, like they were pulled out by the roots. There was a footprint about 5 or 6 inches long near the plants. It looked like someone was wearing swim fins with no obvious toe or heel marks. He thought some kids stole the flowers last night. He had several varieties of azaleas, and it appeared that at least one of each color was missing. I figured it would be the point, or little point, to tell him what I had saw a couple of days earlier, but I gave him a condensed version, and I said maybe aliens came from space, spread fungus spores and perfect rings in my backyard, and then stole some of your azaleas just for fun. A look of shock came over his face like I just revealed a secret. He was not amused by my whimsical explanation. Instead, he asked me to tell him if I ever saw any little kids messing around his backyard, and I said, "Yeah, sure, I'll let you know." Now, these rings remained for weeks, through several mowings even, and this was my last encounter with aliens, R. So it had a slight encounter that they don't, you know, they discuss but don't really allude to any in the story back in the day.
Yeah, what do they call those circles that they have, like fairy circles and stuff? People,
yeah.
I mean,
the fairy circles.
I've seen pictures of that, and there's also some in Zimbabwe I saw that, and they had an explanation. I remember I read about it in Scientific American or something, but that was also like 8 years ago, so I forgot what the article said.
Right.
But they had an explanation for it, and it was something like his neighbor was mentioning, like a fungus, like an ergot or something.
But the idea of that growing overnight.
I mean, fungus.
That size, you know what I'm saying? 12-foot circles.
Yeah, I don't have any explanation for that. You know, that I don't have any explanation. But
it sounds like something touched down.
Yeah, it does.
And whatever was on it, much like we discussed off air about the case in Brazil, just coming in contact. You come in, it's like whatever comes in contact with it here it leaves some sort of residue.
Well, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, yeah. If you're from another planet, you're going to have a different set types of fungus and mm-hmm. things like that. And it's going to transfer over. Just like when people come over from Europe to South America, you know, everybody, they brought smallpox and stuff with mm-hmm. them. And the people in South America gave the Europeans syphilis. You know, there's a transference yep. of diseases that either culture was not prepared for. They didn't have an immune system to defend it. So why wouldn't it be any different with plants?
If not worse, when it comes from outer space.
Yeah right. Space fungus. Well, mm-hmm. before we get into the next story, let's talk about our next great sponsor. All right. We got an interesting story sent to us about a possible ghost kid. Check this out. Yes. We don't do a lot of ghost stories on this show, but they're always entertaining when they come across our news desk. It says, check this out. This is about my first experience. I was about 13 at my grandparents' on my dad's side of the family mowing. Now, my grandpa had quite a large shed that he woodworked in and had recently put in a massive window facing the house. The window itself was around 3 foot wide and 7 foot tall. Now, as I'm mowing the grass sometime in the afternoon, I saw a tall, slender female from the floor to just the top of the window. She was all white and had the darkest eyes. No eyeballs, but the whole area where the eyes would be, it was dark. I stopped and we looked at each other for a solid 3 or 5 seconds. I took a blink with my eyes and she was gone. I didn't have any bad vibes, though. Now, my second experience, I was about 15. I opted for a futon instead of a normal mattress around the age of 12. So handrails and all of this thing, laid out bed, was laid out in the bed style and was maybe 1.5 to 2 foot tall. I turn everything off and lay down for bed. Maybe 5 minutes later, I hear what sounds like something flicking random things from one end of my room to the other. At the time, I had an old 24-inch box-style television. The last flick sounded like it was dead center on the screen. Now, anyone older will know that it's a very distinct sound when something hits the glass of an older television like that. I heard the flick to the screen, and my dark room lit up with static from the TV. Whatever it was turned the TV on with the flick. I uncovered, turned the TV off, and went back to sleep. I had worse vibes this time. My third experience, maybe a couple weeks after this one, I woke up to a strange light in my room. At the time, and I still do, I sleep in a completely blacked out room. No lights. In fact, I even use thick plastic shower curtains on my windows to keep the light out. Back to the light. Clearly, there shouldn't be a light of any kind in my room at night. So I uncover the sheets and blankets to see what was on, what did I leave on? Well, to my surprise, there was a kid. And I say kid because of my futon dimensions, and he's just like an old woman. The all-white black eyes and standing maybe 1 foot taller than my handrail at the end of my bed by my feet. We stared at each other for what felt like a solid minute. He slowly faded away and it was dark again in my room. Again, I didn't have any bad vibes. My grandma on my dad's side was always spiritual. Had sage and such hung on the walls. I talked to her about some of my experiences, and I don't know if she was just trying to calm me down about it, but what she told me was that white spirits are good spirits. I should avoid them, but I shouldn't be scared. She had since split up with my grandpa and was living on her own. Now I had another experience. This time I'm 16, staying the night at my grandma's. It was later in the evening, 10 to 12-ish, we had both gone to bed before this. I wake up hearing snoring from the end of the hall. She was asleep, and I had to use the restroom. As I'm walking down the hall, I pass the spare bedroom, and the same woman from my first experience, is sitting on the end of the bed, head turned, staring at me. The whole room lit up. Now I looked over my left, and I saw the same apparition, and it freaked me out. The room was supposed to be empty. Not expecting to be looked at. I ran, of course, maybe 5 foot down the hall, then backpedaled, took a look, and by then she was gone. I did not and have not told my grandma about this woman. I believe this spirit is watching over or guarding my grandma. Same as before, no bad vibes. Being scared was from not expecting it, but this woman has never had my hair on end for any bad feelings or anything like that. Like, I don't feel frightened. I feel calm, actually, when I see her. I had one more experience, other than random noises and yells of my name over the years. I'm 27 now, married, with kids, and working night shifts. My family had gone to sleep around 9:30 or 10 p.m. At 1 to 2 a.m., I'm doing laundry. Suddenly, there is a loud scratching and beating in the door to the laundry room. I got up to investigate, and there was this everything messed up. I left the door open just in case. I walked back to the couch and sat down. Not even seconds later, the door slammed shut, and the beating on it continues. I've told my wife of all the noises and experience beforehand, and she said she has never had anything happen to her. So I assume I'm the only one hearing this, and checked how much time was left on the dryer, set an alarm, and left the house. Yep, that's me. Me and my wife joke about it nowadays. We have since bought a new house and gotten a dog. I've become accustomed to hearing noises and looking at the dog to see if it acknowledges as well. Sometimes no, but most of the time she'll completely perk up. Ears, hair on end, the whole nine yards, in whatever direction said noise comes from. We have a spare room that nobody goes in. Absolute creepier vibes from all family members involved. Even the guests have said they can't sleep there and have moved out to the couch in the middle of the night. Only when I'm home alone, I hear noises. But on a couple occasions, I hear sounds of what sounds like a five-year-old girl laughing from our kitchen. The dog has acknowledged this both times I've heard it. Now, here's where I came to a solution to my problem with my house. During a family visit at Easter or something at my mom's, I went to my old room, shut the door, and spoke aloud. I said, "Hey, ghost kid, if you're still here, I could use your help at my house. You've never given me any feelings of harm, and my house that I'm living in now currently does. If you're still here, could you come with me and do your best? It's been 2 years now. Occasionally, I feel like I catch a glimpse of the ghost kid from my youth out of the corner of my eye, but all noises, all laughter, and all bad vibes have completely stopped. I just wanted to speak out loud about my experiences. Maybe someone else has encountered a white ghost with black holes where eyes should be. I don't know. Thanks for the podcast, Jim." So this guy's kind of got a solution, right? He's been seeing ghosts since he was a kid, but they are white spirits. His grandmother told him that these are benevolent beings. They're not evil. They're not there to hurt you. He moved into a house that's got some bad feelings to it, and he actually invited the good ghost to come move to the new house.
I like that.
And now all the ghosts, all the problems have stopped. It's like that ghost or guardian angel, whatever you want to call it, was able to stop the bad vibes he was having and the dark energy that was in the new spot. So that's an interesting way of getting rid of a ghost problem. I've never thought of
that. That's never even heard of anyone thinking of
that.
No,
absolutely not. So, hey, if you're listening out there, if those who have a...
invited a paladin into their house. The spirit of a paladin.
You're having trouble with dark entities, maybe go find you a good one and invite over.
I do like the fact the way it brings up the grandmother seemed to know all of it. You know what I mean? Like, right. Seem to be completely aware. Like, maybe this is something that has attached itself to that family and has followed that family. Well, whole time.
That's what he was talking about, generational, these gifts, these people that have this ability to see things and stuff. Because, I mean, he talks about his wife never hears anything. It's only him. And it only happens when he's like home alone. Like, that the spirits awesome. Know. Oh, no one's here. I'm going to jack with you now.
I would love to be able to at least have a little something like
and
that.
And it seems like it goes from generation to generation. The person that we know that has that ability, his grandmother had the same thing. So it's like it flows through you. What is that?
It is strange.
It's not taught. It's not like the grandmother sits you down one day and is like, "Look, I'm going to show you how to see ghosts."
Is it a certain bloodline? Is it a certain like Rh negative blood? You know what I'm saying? Like, is one more? I would like to know.
I would too.
That's crazy.
Very crazy.
I love it, though. I love it. I love that people are out there that can see it. Like, there is, like, it's almost like they are the meters, right? Like, that's what you need.
Yeah,
you need
I agree.
People that, because I would never know it was there no matter what it was. Look, I got one here. Of course, like I said, I found this. Lon sent this to me because of the things that I love, and he takes good care of me. This one actually comes from a friend of his. sent this to him, a fellow named B.A. from Northern Cheyenne Reservation in Ashland, Montana. And this is sent in about a deer man sighting. All right. It says, I live in Ashland, about 20 miles from Lame Deer. I've heard stories of the area around the grandmother's home, and I've personally been witness to a deer man. It was about 2002. I was hunting on the big divide between Ashland and Lame Deer. I was glassing with my binoculars, hoping to find a deer to shoot for one of the elders. I spotted what I thought was a whitetail buck. It was standing in a brush patch about 200 yards in a draw below me. As I was watching the buck through my binoculars, the body started to become clearer. It was a deer head on a muscular man's body. Needless to say, I hurried and got out of the area and didn't go back into there for a while. And I've heard many stories of little men, but my only experience with them wasn't a full-fledged sighting. See, it was in 1997. I was house-sitting for my parents while they were away one weekend. I was sitting in the living room one afternoon watching television when I caught a glimpse of something out of the corner of my eye. I turned toward the dining room window. I saw what looked like the top of a head popping into view at the base of the window. It looked like someone was jumping up trying to look in. I watched whatever it was for a good half a dozen jumps when I rushed over and looked out the window to see who it was. There was no one there. I immediately went outside and looked. I couldn't find or see anyone. Now, my parents' house was in a very rural area with not many trees or bushes. I should have seen who it was if it was a kid. Whatever it was, I estimated that it had to be about 3 foot tall if it had jumped up and only the top of its head showed over the window while it was jumping. A close friend also had encounters with a little woman near her house. She would hang laundry in her backyard. Then, when she went back outside to take the laundry down, some of the clothes and sheets were on the ground or missing. Now, this occurred several times until she finally saw the little woman running through the yard at night. She believes that the little people on the reservation are invisible during the day. She described the little woman as being 2.5 feet tall, brown-skinned, and wearing a long, colorful shawl around her. Now, there are a lot of strange sightings and encounters on this reservation. Thanks, B.A. So, again, we've found more things that has to go with the little people, but this is the first time, I wouldn't say they were tied together, but that you're hearing tales of a lot of little people encounters and deer men in this same area. So again, it brings me back. It makes it feel like fey. The deer man feels like a fey creature.
The deer man, or also known as not deer.
Yes.
And the fey. Like, maybe it is fey.
And maybe it's not the good kind, right? Like, we know, we have covered it when we talked about the Puckwudgies, about the ones that had broken in and stolen stuff down there when they were doing a remodel, and they had seen chalk line drug out in the middle of the trees, and they saw the tools missing down in South Texas. We've covered a bunch of that, of this whole thing like that. They never seem to be evil. They seem to be mischievous.
Yeah.
Or they seem to always want to be on the outskirts, you know, kind of taking a few things here and there like Jawas. Right. They kind of sling in like Jawas and get your stuff and go. But they never seem to be dark or an evil entity. Whereas a lot of the stories you get with the deer man or this not deer, it doesn't seem to be kind. It doesn't seem to have a nice smoothness to it the way some of these other creatures do.
Yeah, I agree. I've got a possible face sighting.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get into that, let's talk about our next sponsor.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all, we want to take a few minutes to talk about taking care of yourself and getting involved in a revolutionary new life hack. I'm talking about microdosing. Now, if you're thinking microdosing, what are you talking about? What is it? Well, you know that just right feeling when your body and mind are really at peace, like after a workout or a nice long shower, where you feel relaxed, focused, and a little bit energized. Microdosing helps you get into that zone easier and stay there longer, which is exactly where I want to be. I'm talking about taking very small amounts of THC regularly. I'm talking about getting the maximum benefit from the minimum amount without becoming stoned, paranoid, or lethargic. Now, I struggle with sleep, and I have for years. I work all day, and I stay up late working on the show. And I have a hard time sometimes turning my brain off when I lay down to sleep. I've tried everything from Ambien to melatonin, NyQuil, you name it, I've tried it. But these microdose gummies, they're a game changer. I take them before I go to bed and I sleep like a baby and I feel great. Now, sometimes I got to take half of one, you know, to get into that flow. And then I take the other half after dinner. Sometimes I take the whole one. Doesn't matter. I love them. Not only do they make me feel good, I have less anxiety. They taste great too. I mean, who doesn't like gummy bears, right? They come in amazing flavors. Cam, I know you've been doing it for a while too. You know, it's your daily routine, right?
It is. Yeah, 100%. It was one of those things. Look, it was very strange when you first get involved, right? Because it's getting into that zone, like you're talking about, that feeling. It's new. And if you don't know what it is and you want to get into it, I can't urge you enough to try it. This is one of those things has helped me more than I realized. And it's like, it is 100% part of my daily routine. And it has made me, I think, maybe a much more agreeable person to hang out with, because it's taken that stress that I've put on myself. All it does is help me get out of my own way. That's pretty much what it does for me. And I love the flavor. Look, I'm not a huge fan of gummies, period. I'm going to be honest with y'all, of any kind. And it always, the flavor and all that has to be right. I don't know if it's the texture or what it is. Well, for me, these are perfect. I enjoy every flavor that I've tried of theirs.
I agree. And this isn't the garbage you get at a gas station. I mean, this is high quality stuff, folks. Yes. And if you're nervous about it, don't worry about it. They have different levels of doses. They have entry level doses, which is perfect for people that want to feel good without getting high from one gummy. And then mm-hmm. there's people that are connoisseurs of THC. They have higher doses. They have strain-specific terpenes like indica. They have sativa. They have hybrids. They even have tinctures. You got to try their code, folks. You got to get on board. You got to try it. Cam, hit them with it.
This is the best part, folks. It's available nationwide. So if you want to learn more about microdosing THC, real easy, go to microdose.com. Use the show code EXPANDED, and you're going to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Now, of course, we're going to stick them all in the links, all in the show notes, so it'll be super easy to find. But for now, remember this, folks. Go to microdose.com, use the code EXPANDED to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Folks, do y'all like saving money as much as we do? I'm betting the answer is yes. And the best place to start, at least in my opinion now, is your wireless service.
That's right.
That's the best place to start. You want to start anywhere with that, you start with Mint Mobile. Look, I finally got my wife talked into trying it. She's on board. She enjoys it. We love it. It really is handy. For those that don't know, if you hate your phone bill, this is the best way to fix it. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. It gives you the best rate whether you're buying for one or for, like me, your family, and of course like Kyle's family. And the families start at two lines, which is pretty cool. But all plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Now, the cool thing is what, of course, you know, Kyle and I are old men. We like to keep what we have. You can use your own phone. Any mobile plan, you keep your phone number. You can even switch all your contacts over, all of that stuff. And like I said, it's really awesome because it starts at $15 a month.
That's right. They even call it BYOE, which bring your own everything.
Word.
Like Cam said, you can come over, and you, as long as your device is unlocked, you can keep the current phone number you have, and you can come right on over to Mint and make it so simple. Now, one thing I like is they don't have a brick and mortar store. They do this by the internet, so they don't have to hire salespeople. They don't have to pay for rent, utilities, and they pass that savings on directly to you. That's what helps them keep their prices so low. They have flexible plan options. Choose the monthly data amount that's right for you. If you're not using it all, you can always switch to a lower data plan and save even more. Stop overpaying for data you don't use. Mint Mobile lets you choose the data amount that's perfect, whether it's 5 gigabytes, 15, 20, or unlimited each month. You choose. And like I said, you can always change whenever you want. You can always add more data. If you need a little bit more data to get through your month, you can add 1 gig at a time for $10. If you need to add 3 more gig, it's only $20. It is an amazing service. Me and my wife and my family switched over, and I am so glad I did. Like I've talked about on previous shows, I didn't know how much I was overpaying because I never looked into it. But once I looked into it, it's great. You can buy a new phone. You can bring your phone. It really is simple. It's easy to do. You get a little SIM card sent to you in the mail. You go and get on their app. And man, if a guy like me can do it, I'm telling you, you can do it too, Cam. Give them the call to action.
This is really easy, folks. To get your new wireless plan for the $15 a month, and get it shipped right to your front door, which is another part that is the best thing ever, right? It's right to you. Just go to mintmobile.com/expanded. Real simple. mintmobile.com/expanded. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/expanded.
All right, check this out, Cam. I think you're going to like this story. It says, "Hey guys, I love the show. I haven't shared this story with many people, as skeptics are quick to write off my experiences. But around 7 years ago, when I was staying at my dad's house, I woke up in the middle of the night to see what I now believe was a leprechaun."
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes.
I know that sounds absolutely ridiculous.
No, no.
But this experience was so creepy that it still gives me chills to this day. Now, I grew up in my dad's house, and it's always felt like home. It doesn't have any creepy vibes or a history of paranormal activity. It's just a normal house. I was sleeping in my bedroom, and I woke up facing the left side of the room. In the space about 1.5 meters in front of me, I saw this small man, maybe 3 foot tall, and he was dancing in a circle. Now, since I'd just woken up, my eyes weren't fully adjusted, so I could only make out the outline of this thing and couldn't see any facial features. I hope this makes sense. But it wasn't a shadowy being. It was a solid mass, as real as a person standing in the room. He was wearing a top hat and was dancing really strange. The dancing is, it's kind of hard to describe. The only way I can think of explaining it is that he was hunched over and exaggerating a tiptoeing motion. Anyway, I'm watching it dance for about 10 seconds, which doesn't sound like a long time, but trust me, it was enough time for me to properly wake up and wonder what on earth I was looking at. I was shocked and frozen, thinking to myself, this can't be real. After watching it dance in this short space of time, it suddenly stops dead in its tracks, seems to turn around towards me, and begins coming at me with speed. I screamed and flipped to the other side of the bed to turn the light on. When I looked back to the side of the room where it had been, it was gone. Needless to say, I kept the light on and didn't go back to sleep again until it was light outside and my dad was awake. Now, for a long time, I explained this apparition as a creepy small man dancing around my room wearing a top hat. It wasn't until I told my boyfriend about it years later that he said, "Sounds like a leprechaun to me." What do you guys think it might have been? In terms of a rational explanation, I guess it could have been a waking hallucination or an overspill from a dream. However, I've had several instances throughout my life of waking up in the night and seeing strange apparitions. This experience, along with one other, have been the only ones that I've felt different to those other times. It's not like I saw it briefly or as a quick flash. I had time to watch it and take it all in. I was fully awake by the time it started to rush towards me. I struggled to explain it away with, and it still freaks me out whenever I think about it. Do you think it was just another hallucination? What do you guys think I saw? Thanks, Carrie. Man, I mean, did you find a lucky, like a golden coin or something like we talked about in the last episode, and the leprechaun was coming to get it back? Like, did you find anything odd? Like, whenever you hear of stories of leprechauns, it's like you took something from them and that's why they're there and they're going to pester you till they get it back. I mean, haven't you seen the movies Leprechaun in the Hood, Leprechaun in Space? I mean, there's like five of these things. Luke, we've seen them all. That's why it's there, right? It's trying to get its gold.
Well, when you start by having those people have those report those feelings of like the confusion or if it was from something else or hallucination, I often wonder sometimes if that's not the side effects of being in contact with something fey or something that's what they can kind of impose on you is just, you know what I'm saying? It's It makes you, it tricks you or it messes with your psyche. So you are there to second guess everything that you're seeing. Like it almost forces that onto you, which is almost like part of their safely getaway type thing planned. Because all of these, everyone knows I'm just a fae junkie. So all of this stuff always feels like fae to me. Because to me, anything that's trickster-esque is fae. Because anything that's evil, truly evil, isn't going to get the enjoyment out of just a little pestering. They're going to get the enjoyment out of suffering.
Right. And I think it's important to note that the fae, it's like the belief in the fae and stuff, we don't really believe, we don't live in a world like that anymore. But you go back a couple hundred years ago, and all the cultures all over the world, they all knew about the fae. They talked about the fae. It was a known thing, right? It wasn't any more like, do you know what an armadillo is? You know, do you know what a sloth is? We've broken away from it
over here.
It's like we've forgotten. We've lost. We've created incredible things like this iPhone right here, or the microphones we're talking into, and the internet and things. But we've also lost some of the stuff, right? We've lost some of the ways of living with the fae. Like long ago, cultures lived with them, alongside of them. They would help you out if you would help them out. If you would, you know, like a gifting tree, things to help them, they would help out with your agriculture. They would do things, but you had to always offer something, and they would offer something in return. It's like we've kind of turned our noses up at the notion that these are real. Now, there still are some small pockets. If you go to like Scandinavia, Ireland, certain places that they still have a strong belief in the fae, but it's like totally forgotten over here. But if you talk to like Native Americans and people who grew up on these reservations, they talk about how their grandparents, they knew about the little hunters. They knew about it. It was like just a common thing. And I think that's why you and I find it so fascinating, because of all the crazy cryptids we talk about or hear about. It's like the fae seemed the most logical to me.
Yes.
Also, if I could have a sighting of any kind, man, I would love to have like a fae encounter. That to me would be so cool. I love reading the stories that Joshua Cutchin wrote about in several of his books with all the different fae sightings. Speaking of fae, you're going to Scarborough Fair this weekend.
Yes.
They have these little tiny miniature fae houses. I saw a lady had built and saved or painted and stuff and was selling, you know, just to put in your flower bed or your garden.
I'm gonna have to check
but
those
they
out.
Look really cool. And I'm like, man, I like the idea of that.
I love it.
Because like what we've had people write in where they built a little house and they believe that fae were living in it.
And I love the idea of, like you talked about, like the gifting tree with the fae. It's, you know, we've discussed it where people said, leave some things out for them if you're having problems around your house.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you make friends with them.
Yeah, talk to them. Buy a little tiny mead cup. Buy a little pipe. Leave stuff
Heck
for
yeah,
them,
yeah,
right?
Buy them a little house. I'm going to have to check those out whenever we get to Scarborough. I'm going to have to take a look at that.
You'll see.
I got to check those out for sure. I got something you're going to love here, bud, because it's right up our alley. This story starts out that says, it was late summer afternoon in 2017. My husband and I were sitting on our sun porch. It's a side porch that looks out over our driveway and towards our neighbor's property, where he has a humongous pine tree. Hey, that's the actual size, humongous. My husband asked me, do you see what I see? And it just so happened that I did. Now, he never described what he was looking at, but he pointed, and I, of course, followed that. And where I was looking, I saw this. A creature like that in the movie Predator. It was transparent, kneeling and looking at us from a perch high up in the tree. You could only see an outline when it moved. It appeared weightless because it was up in a high part of the tree. Now, those branches can't hold much weight. It was just staring at us, and it's then when I realized, or it realized, that we saw it. Yeah, it went behind the main body of the tree and disappeared. Now, this was the first time my husband is seeing anything with me, all right? So I'm assuming this goes on. So it changed his whole perspective. Of course, he's more open-minded and not too quick to dispute when I share the things that I've seen now. He's ex-military and has been all over the world, but this was at home where he saw something that couldn't be explained. We both saw it without a doubt. Those semi-invisible beings, I don't know for certain what they are. We both have theories, but what I know for certain is this, that they look like the cloaked alien in the movie Predator when it was transparent or invisible mode, and it had, you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
It had a lizard-shaped head.
Yeah, what is that?
First time I've heard anybody really point that, or the second time rather, that it might be possible, like lizard, reptilian. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it is, that's, it truly is. It's reptilian camouflage gear that keeps it invisible. So that's what they saw. So on their front porch, they saw it up. Now, I do like this. It was in the tall part of the tree where the limbs are thinner and smaller and can't hold the weight, yet it wasn't affecting it from its weight.
Yeah, very interesting.
Strange. Completely strange.
When we first started getting sightings of the Glimmer Man, it seemed like, you know, what is this? But it does seem like it's ramping up, right? Like more and more people
are coming out with these sightings of the predator-like being. And we talk about it all the time. What is it? Is it an extraterrestrial? Is it something else? Is it Fey? Is it, you know, some human experiment where we're experimenting with a cloaking ability? I don't believe that. That's probably my least liked theory.
I don't think it's us, man.
I don't think it is either. I think it's more like demonic.
I don't think it's us because I still don't see the point of it if it was us.
And you never
you can test it in so many other ways that you don't have to test it where you're just lurking around spying on people.
Well, and it wouldn't give you the ability to run through the trees like people have talked about and things like that.
But maybe it does.
I don't know. I mean,
maybe it makes you weightless like that. The whole suit is something crazy. Came from the dark side of the moon, right? Now, look. I know that's wacky. We've talked about that kind of stuff with the Glimmer Man and all that. And then you and I always play the game. What if you were hunting, what you would see? I got this. I want to share this with you.
Okay.
Okay. Now, this is one of those things. I got it from Lon. This is something I don't even know how to explain. I'm just going to read it and then you can tie it all together. Listen to this stuff here. This event happened to me and a friend from out of town that I had invited to go hunting one afternoon. This location was in southern Louisiana, in an area with thick woods and a lot of palmettos, up to 6 foot in height in some places. The water we had to walk in to get to my deer stands was up to our waist at times, so it was slow moving in the mile we had to walk into our stands. My friend wasn't used to this tough terrain, but he kept up. And when I got to the first stand, which was 15 foot off the ground with a ladder to climb, once he was up and I told him I would be by to pick him up about a half hour after dark since I was about a half a mile past him. There was a full moon that was reflecting off the water, allowing us to hunt a few minutes longer. And when it became too dark to see, I climbed down from my deer stand with my rifle on my shoulder and I started walking slowly towards my friend to pick him up. When I was almost to his stand, I shone my light up and, well, he wasn't on stand. So I was shining my light on the ground at the bottom of the stand, and there he was, leaning back against the tree. What was odd is he wouldn't look my way even after calling his name. So I walked up to within a couple feet and asked him if he was ready to go. That's when he finally turned his head and looked toward me, and what I saw in his face scared me so bad that I took my rifle off my shoulder, putting it between him and I. His eyes were rolled back in his head and his mouth was wide open, just looking at me, not saying a word, and not answering.
I did that one time. Remember we saw that monster buck?
This is true. When I was asking what was wrong, he's looking at me as if he was possessed or something. At this point, I was scared, so I finally slapped his face and he snapped back to himself. I asked if he was okay, and his only words were, "Let's get out of here right now." So with me not knowing what was going on, I made him walk in front of me the whole way back to the truck. We got in and left without saying a word. And I asked him what happened in the woods and why did he look shocked or possessed. And that's when he started crying and telling me how he was sitting there on stand when he heard something coming through the water. And this thing was moving the palmettos as it was walking. And when it got close enough to see what it was, he said it was a man that looked like he'd been skinned alive. He had no skin on him at all. He said he was so scared that after seeing this thing had passed him, he climbed down and hid under the stand against the tree so it wouldn't see him if it came back. He was in shock when I got to him. That's why he looked like he did. He was so shaken up and crying that I made him pull over for me to drive. Well, a week went by, and I was talking to my cousin who had gone on a tour at a nearby Indian memorial, and they were explaining how this native tribe would skin men of the tribe alive and turn them loose in the woods when they had committed a serious crime. My friend who had witnessed this skinned man a week earlier wasn't from around this area and had no way of knowing this. So what did he see that put him in shock? Was it a ghost of one of these natives who was skinned alive years ago? I don't know. I just know the shape my friend was in when I got to him that night in the woods was something that I'll never forget. Thanks. Oh.
Wow, that's exactly what he saw. That's exactly what
he saw.
It's
got to be it, right?
The description matches what the native legend is in that area.
It's got to be it.
Right, that's so creepy, though. Just the description of it.
Look, seeing...
a skinned alive man.
Someone skinned alive walking through the woods. Here's the thing that how you can tell this guy was messed up after seeing it. He climbed down and hid under a ladder stand up against a tree.
Yeah.
Your best bet is staying in the stand up against, this thing. If it didn't see you the first time, why would it look for the second time, right? Because you're not in your mind, right? Your mind's not right. You were so freaked out, they didn't know what to do.
Yeah, it was kind of like, reminds me of the story when we were at the DU guys. And they were talking about the phantom, that ghost that kind of just walked by them while they were hunting.
Just that old fella that just walked through them in the middle of nowhere.
Maybe it wasn't really looking for him. It's just wandering. I wonder if that happens in that same place like every night. Does it happen twice a year? Does it happen every 10 years? Like, is there any rhyme and reason to it? Those stories like that.
Well, think of the
scary,
number.
But cool at the same time.
The number of stories that we've covered where people have seen, like been in any kind of hunt, in a deer stand, any of that stuff, and seen something so life-shaking, right? Like, it happens. It's almost like it's not accidental. It's almost like everything that comes by is there for a reason. I remember the satyr sightings that dudes had while they were hunting. You know, you talk about seeing all of the little people, all the stuff that comes by when people are out there hunting. It is very, very odd. And it also might be one of those things that if y'all just go sit in the woods, just get quiet, just go find you a place to sit down, and stay comfortable, stay quiet, don't move a lot. Be surprised what you'll see moving around out there.
If you want to see something hideous and truly ugly, you can come and see me and Cam in person.
True, true.
This September, September 2nd and September 3rd in Fort Worth, Texas, we're going to be at the second annual Dogman Cryptid Conference.
Heck yeah.
It's going to be awesome. There's going to be lots of guest speakers there, guys like Josh Turner, Ken Gerhard, David Weatherly, Ron Moorhead, Christopher Garantano, Lyle Blackburn, Nick Redfern, and on and on and on. And me and Cam are going to be there in person. We'll probably have a booth there. We're going to be interviewing people. If you have any sightings of Dogman or Cryptid, and you'd like to finally meet Cam and I and tell us your story face to face, we're going to be there. Camera and microphones in hand.
I think we're actually going to be on a panel too and some stuff.
I believe so. Yep. It's going to be very interesting. So if you've never been to Fort Worth, Texas and you want a reason, September 2nd and September 3rd in Fort Worth, Texas, you can go. I'll put links to the event in our show notes. You can buy tickets in advance. If you've never been to Fort Worth, there's all kinds of cool things to do in Cowtown, folks. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and we can tell you all the cool stuff to go check out too while you're there.
All the good food to eat and things like that.
There's some not far from there.
Yeah, that's right.
Where they're going to be hosting it, so it'll be a blast. I'm really looking forward to it.
I haven't seen a lot of those guys in a long time.
Yeah.
And some of them I've never met, like Christopher Garantano. Remember, we had him on for the Montauk Chronicles back in the
day. We talked to him a bunch, but we never got to hang out. Same as David Weatherly.
Yeah, same thing, right? Yeah,
you know, just like you get to talk to him all the time, but you don't get to hang out. So we're hoping this all works out, so we'll get to hang out some too. But yeah. We'll be there. It'll be a good time.
I agree. If you have any cool stories, just share with me and Cam and the listeners. You need to email us at expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show 888-393-2783. Let's not forget about our wonderful sponsors, HelloFresh. Just go to HelloFresh.com/expanded16 and use the code expanded16 for 16 free meals plus free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/expanded16. It is America's number one meal kit. And
if y'all want to save some money, and I know you do, for just $15 a month, you can get a new wireless plan. Go to mintmobile.com/expanded.
And finally, Lumi Labs. Microdose is available nationwide. Just go to microdose.com and use the promo code EXPANDED to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Cam, what do you got planned other than Scarborough Fair?
Man, oh man. My daughter's coming home. We got all that going on, but the Scarborough Fair is the only thing that I've got planned. I am holding it out for that whole thing. The granddaughter's going to come home with us, stay the weekend with us after that, so I'm looking forward to that. But the Scarborough Fair thing is pumped. Hey, I got something to share with you. So the other day, I was out the other night. My dog was barking, right? So I go outside. I'm looking around. I don't know what's going on. So I go out. I go on my front porch. This is like midnight, right?
Yeah.
I look over in the neighbor's yard across the way over there. I look and I can see something moving in their front yard. And I'm like, what the heck is that? And it's not moving like a cat or a dog or a possum or anything like you would think would be. I'm like, what is going on there? Then I noticed it's a great horned owl.
Oh, yeah.
That sucker was probably 2 foot tall, easy, hopping around there. I don't know what it was chasing in the yard. Then it quietly just floats up to the power lines above my house over there, like on the road. And it's just sitting there looking down in the front yard like it sees me perfectly down there. And right then, as I was thinking, I'm like, you know what? If you didn't know, you know what that thing, and it came past you, you would have no idea.
No,
as quiet as they are. And then it got me, of course, thinking about the one that my mother had seen, some big giant owl. And then, of course, that led into more of the crazy owl stories. And I got to thinking of more craziness about like that. But, yeah, just going to point you out that we have a giant horned owl hanging out around here now.
I love
owls. So keep
owls.
All your little animals put inside in the evenings. Don't let them outside. The owls will run off with them.
Yeah, and there actually is three types of owls. There's owls that are only nocturnal. There are owls that only operate in the daylight. And then there's owls that only operate in dusk and at dawn. And the guy was at the Scarborough Fair was telling us that you could tell by the eye color which one is. There's three distinct eye colors that owls have, like yellow.
I guess wants to pick up more
orange,
light.
Or, right.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
Without knowing the species, if you look at the eye color, you'll know what type of, when it likes to prey on things.
Well, I can tell you this right now. That great horned owl was moving around like he didn't have any problem with the darkness.
Well, that's cool. But I've got another story here. It's a really good one. If true, this is very horrifying. But you got to be an elite member to listen to it.
That's
so we're
right.
Going to carry over into the next episode that we're going to do right now on Elite. So join Elite and you'll get to hear the story. That's about all the time we have for this episode, folks. Till next time, be careful. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.